Welcome to the Venture Mentality Podcast. We're bringing you the insights and interviews from top entrepreneurs and high performers on how to reach your goals and overcome your challenges. Hosted by 18-year-old high school student and entrepreneur, Jacob O'Connor. Now, let's get right into the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Jacob O'Connor, and you're listening to the Venture Mentality Podcast. Today we have performance coach for the Alabama Crimson Tide football team and best-selling author Ben Newman joining us. What's up, Ben?
Jacob, how you doing, man? Great to be with you. Great to be with your listeners. And first, I got to tell you, man, I love your initiative and your passion, man. Being in high school doing this, appreciated you reaching out. Wasn't going to miss the opportunity to get back to you. I admire you doing this at that age.
Thank you. I love doing it, and I'm happy to have you on. So I just want to start off like I usually do. I was hoping you could kind of give me like a 45-second resume just to kind of catch the listeners up with who you are and what you've done.
Well, first off, I'll tell you that I can give you resumes and accolades and all those things, but it's challenge and adversity and the tough stuff that I've been through in my life that I believe gives us the opportunity to really find out what we're made of and to really understand the strength that lies within us. And my mom passed away at a very young age, 11 days before my 8th birthday, and she taught me about fire and passion in life and what it takes to get up on those days when you just don't feel like doing it. And she battled a rare muscle disease called amyloidosis. And so for me now in my life, on my journey, you know, I'm trying to continue to write my mother's story every single day. So whether it's consulting work that we've done with the Microsofts of the world and the Quicken Loans and some of the biggest companies on the corporate side of things, or it's the work with Alabama football, or it's the work with behind the scenes with the Los Angeles Rams, things of that nature. You know, those things happen as a result of showing up every single day and doing the work. And then I tell you, I think the greatest highlight of my resume is my two kids, Isaac and Kennedy Rose, and I'll be married 13 years coming up. So trying to work hard in those areas too.
Yeah, I definitely think that a happy family is a true measure of success. Yep. So that's awesome. So you have a quote, and it goes, success is not just about changing your habits, it's about changing the way you think. And I was just kind of hoping you could break that down for us and maybe, you know, help us understand how to change how you think.
Yeah, so first off, a lot of that came from just my study and my research in the sports side of things. One of the first rules of sports psychology is for an athlete to perform at their highest level, they cannot solely rely on their natural talents and abilities. They have to understand the mental toughness side of what it takes to achieve peak performance. So if you think about that quote, right, it's a combination of both. It's not, oh, well, I'm a really good athlete, but I don't need to worry about that mental toughness. It's a combination of both. And I believe that's for you as a student. That's for you as a young entrepreneur. That's for everybody listening that wants to go start a business or they want to get into sports. It applies to all of us. And so far too often, I think people rely on their habits. Hey, I'm going to go grind. I'm going to go work hard. And it's like, you got to think big in conjunction with that. You got to push yourself. You've got to tackle that mental side of the game to really be able to achieve peak performance and to get yourself up off that mat of life when you feel like you just can't do it.
I completely agree with that. I think a lot of life is a matter of perspective. And once you change your perspective, you know, you can raise your standards and you'll change your game. And so going along with that, how as an athlete, because I know you work with Alabama football team, you know, they've done some amazing things and you've got to be a part of that. What is your role with them? How do you help them mentally? Because I know you're a mental coach for them.
Yeah, so, you know, I get to go and spend a lot of time with those players, and it's an extraordinary group of kids, and it's a blessing to be a part of it. And, you know, Coach Saban, it's just incredible what he has really built there at Alabama. And, you know, one of the things that he always talks about is the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So it's not just the coaches on the field, it's coaches like myself that he brings in to help people lock into their goals and their vision and their daily disciplines. And oftentimes it's helping athletes break down what are the small little details and choices that are going to make a difference. You know, a lot of times athletes, they may say, gosh, I don't want to get in the cold tub today. I don't want to pay attention to my nutrition today. Oh man, studying the playbook, I don't want to worry about that today. But what I empower those athletes to do and really give them the choice to do is to say, what is it that you truly want? You know, based upon your burn, based upon your purpose, what is it that you really want? And then you've got to connect that to the daily actions that give you the ability to perform at your highest level. So for me, it's a lot of those empowering them to connect those little daily decisions and choices. And then throughout the season, I'm there at the beginning of every single month and then prep them for games and things of that nature, even when I'm not there. And it's just locking them into an ideal state of focus so that they can perform, do their work, and collectively, you know, continue to achieve together.
That's awesome. And I think going along with that, you're talking about it's the little decisions like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to. It's really the discipline of it. And I think connecting this back to a little bit more of my audience, the entrepreneurs, it's the same thing. Like, you start off with this vision in the back of your head of what you want. And you know that day one, it's not going to be there. But you know that day one is just important as day 100. And each day you have to do the little things that are going to continue to propel you forward and give you progress. You know, one of my favorite quotes is that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And I think that that's something that you instill in the athletes and that can be related to a lot of people and just life in general.
Yes, I'll tell you a fun story that's very relevant. One of the things that in my work, I like to tell stories and share things that are in real time and that are relevant. So I worked for 4 years with the North Dakota State Bison. So my first year there was Carson Wentz's senior year, and just had a blessing of being part of that program and had the opportunity to win a small handful of national championships. And Coach Kleiman, the head coach, recently got the job back in January after we won another national title as the head coach for Kansas State football. And he brought me along with him to Kansas State, and we showed up there in January. And, you know, here was a group of kids where we could see the hunger, we could see the passion in their eyes, but it was that belief. They weren't holding on to the belief of what was possible for them. They were underperforming. You know, Bill Snyder, legendary coach. I mean, shoot, the stadium is named after him in Manhattan, Kansas. But this team was just a little bit behind where they could be. And that first talk, to your point that you just shared, I talked about pounding the stone. And that's become the theme for their season. And it comes from the Stonecutter's Creed. And, you know, many people walk by, you could have a sledgehammer pounding away at this stone. And all of a sudden, Jacob, on that 101st strike, bang, the stone busts wide open. And somebody would be like, man, you see Jacob, that dude is so strong, man. He like one strike and man, this stone just busted open. And what they don't realize, it was every single strike of that stone that makes the difference, right? And that's the little things that some people, they don't want to make the sacrifice. They don't want to put in the hard work. They don't want to do it when other people are sleeping. They want the easy way. There is no easy way. And we work with these guys and just believing in themselves. And people sometimes underestimate the power of belief. And I gave them the visual. I actually brought this big sledgehammer, and it had purple on it and wildcat heads on it. And now they take it out to the field. Now it hangs in the locker room. And this football team that was underperforming, hadn't been to bowl games, hadn't been nationally ranked in years, they're now 3-0 to start this season. Well, they just beat Mississippi State on the road. This next week, we're going to go to Oklahoma State for the Big 12 opener. And the team is ranked 25th in the country. And we have a lot of work to do. It's a long season ahead of us. But these kids are focused on a one-day-at-a-time mentality, all their hands on the sledgehammer, pounding away at that damn stone every single day. And I think that's the opportunity for all of us. You got to show up. You got to do the work. You got to do it when you don't want to do it. And that's really where you create the distance from your competition.
100%. And the fact that you were able to instill that mentality in them, I know that that's going to help them along the journey. And I think a lot of times with it, people that are, anyone who's aiming to be a high performer, anything, whether it's athletics, your career, entrepreneurship, life, I feel like a lot of times they'll get deterred and frustrated because along the way, like you said, you're never going to know when that 101st hit is going to come and that stone's going to break. And so it's just hard because you can't exactly track the progress. Like, okay, let's say you want to get a new max for your bench and you're doing 255 10 times. You're doing it over and over and over again. And you want to break your new max of like 315. You know, if you keep trying 315 and you're failing, you're going to get very frustrated. But who knows, maybe the next time you would have tried, you would have gotten it. Or the next time you start a business, you would have gotten it. Or the next time this or that, you know, you just, it's all about perseverance in my mind.
Yep, absolutely.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about the, along with the mental side of working with the football players, also how do you help them handle mental stress? Because you're under a lot of pressure performing at a high level like that.
Yeah, so a lot of it comes to, you know, there's so many speakers and coaches, they talk about your why, they talk about purpose, which has been so incredibly important for me, the connection to that, which for me, I think we have to go a little bit deeper. And that's what I encourage people to do. And the deeper is what I actually call the burn, right? It's that fire inside of you that actually lights that why and that purpose on fire to go take the necessary action to get it. So a lot of times it's taking that individual who's trying to bust through that next level to understand their mental toughness. We got to dig down deep and understand what that burn is. And if you light that burn on fire and you connect to it every single day, you're going to have a willingness to get up off that mat one more time than you've been knocked down. You're going to have a willingness to fight through that pain. You're going to have a willingness to stay under that bar when it's time to push it just a little bit more. You're going to have a willingness to be coached more. And so that burn is so important. It's one of the reasons why we now have our YouTube show and our podcast, The Burn, and people are loving it because every single week it's different entrepreneurs, it's different athletes, and we're talking to them about their burn to help each individual uncover and understand the importance of connecting to that burn. So a lot of times that's what it is, right? It's to get to that next level, you have to stay connected to that real underlying white hot reason why you do it. And it's that fire that lies inside you.
Mm-hmm. I would completely agree with that. And I think that a lot of people underestimate the power of passion, you know, of whenever you love doing something. Like you always hear the story about the mom who somehow lifted a car to save the child to get out from underneath it, or you look at the movies and you see Rocky Balboa, like round 13, getting hammered and he's still in it. And you see these real life examples, like in sports and whatnot. And when you find what you're passionate about and you pursue it, it's very hard to find something you can't overcome when you know your why and why you're doing it. So with that, I want to touch a little bit on your journey. Like I love your career and what you're doing. I think it's awesome. But how did you get there? Did you always know this was something you wanted to do, or, you know, what did the journey look like for you?
Yeah. So I was my first job out of college, I went to Michigan State University, and my first job out of college, I was a paper broker in Chicago. So if you've ever seen the show, The Office with Steve Carell, I mean, I literally was like, that was my office. I mean, that's what I did. I brokered paper and did that for almost 3 years and ended up coming back to St. Louis. And I became a financial advisor for a Fortune 100 financial firm. And not to impress you, but to impress upon the point, got off to a really fast start because my mother's planning and life insurance put me through college and put my brother through college. So there was this passion and burn inside of me to go write the stories of a little boy just like me, right? Who had the mom who made the protection and did the things that she needed to do to plan. And so I got off to a really fast start, set some records, got invited to speak in Chicago. I was 26 years old. And this financial firm said, we will pay you $500 and all your expenses to come and like tell us what you're doing. And I'm like, this is a thing? Like, you're going to pay me $500 and my expenses? And so I was just a kid, right? I'm like, yeah, I'll come and do that. And I went and I loved it. I fell in love with that opportunity, not to necessarily teach people sales language, but to really help people think differently and to focus on those daily choices that would get them to the next level. So started speaking more, started writing books, started coaching. Fast forward to 2011. My old high school basketball coach, and this is the part of the story people don't necessarily understand, because a lot of times people say, well, how is it that you work with 20 guys in the NFL, and how is it that you know, Alabama and all these things, they just think that just happens, right? Nick Saban just called one day. The reality was, in 2011, my high school basketball coach called, and he used to call me Benny Boy, and he's like, Benny Boy? He's like, man, our team right now, these guys are underperforming. They got all the talent in the world. They're underperforming. We're playing Parkway Central. They're the number 13 team in the city. And we could take these kids on. But like, man, we need some help. You come fire up these boys. And I was like, man, coach, I'll do anything for you. I mean, literally, my old head coach and the assistant coach, they're characters in books I write. That's how much my high school basketball coaches have meant to me. And so I said, yeah, I'll come. And so I go and I give this pregame speech. And they knock off Parkway Central. And I was hooked. And so now it's been 8 years I've gone back. I still go back to my high school to pour into these kids. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I was excited that you had reached out, right? I don't have time to do every single podcast interview, but when I can see the fire and passion in a young person's eyes and you're wanting to instill that in other individuals' eyes, man, I admire that. And so for me to have gotten my start in sports at my old high school, it sounds crazy. But sometimes we just have to ask the question, like you reaching out, you got to just ask. And we also have to have a willingness to say yes. And, you know, you said yes to yourself to start this podcast. That's not easy, man. You got school, you know, it's hard to find the time to do that. And I can tell how serious you take this. It's awesome. And, you know, it was a choice for me. I didn't have to say yes to my old basketball coach. I could have been like, coach, man, I don't speak to high school team. But I've gotten so much joy out of it, and I love it. And it's what helped build my work in sports.
I love that. And I think one of the key things you said was you can't be afraid to ask. And I have a mentor here in Columbia. His name is Joe Capias. And one of the things they taught me was really simple, but it was just never be afraid to ask, because the worst thing they can do is say no. And so that's kind of been something I've carried with me throughout this journey. And yeah, it was very difficult starting a podcast, just because I was nervous about talking to people and connecting and all this kind of stuff. But as I've continued to do it, I've really started to love it. Like, I enjoy connecting with people and extracting the wisdom and the advice out of what they have to say. And so something key you said was saying yes. And I think for a lot of people, saying yes is a hard thing to do, even if it's just to yourself. So no matter what you're doing, you have to realize that, you know, you're worth it. Like, you have to take the chance on yourself.
So let me share something with you. And can I offer continued coaching principle to you?
Of course.
And I think it's awesome that you have Joe. And, you know, for me in my life, it's mentors and coaches who have been there for me when I felt like I didn't have the strength. I couldn't keep going. Like, how am I going to get through and get up off this mat of life? And here's one of the common misconceptions. I still have coaches. I've had a paid coach since I was 25 years old. This year I hired a second coach. So now I've got two coaches. I'm on my 20th book of the year. That's more books than I've ever read in a year. So, you know, it doesn't matter our accolades or who we spoke to or awards. None of that stuff matters. I believe it's our opportunity every single day to look in the mirror and say, man, today I gave it my very best. And if we can stack those days on top of each other, we're going to write one heck of a story. So as you continue to grow and you continue to have success, don't lose that hunger for pursuing that opportunity to get better and for pursuing, you know, those mentors like Joe and those coaches that are in your life, because it makes a difference. And here I am at 40, and you could tell everybody I got a great resume, but I feel like I'm only scratching the surface, and there's just so much more for us to learn.
Mm-hmm. I would completely agree with that. And I think the common misconception is that education stops after high school or college, but a life without education is just a life of mediocrity. You know, that's what keeps pushing us forward and progressing us. And so how do you educate yourself continually? Like, I know that you said you read and you've got your mentors, but what is an area that you want to kind of learn more about because you think it's going to help progress you in the future?
Well, one of the things for me, right, even though my work is on mindset, is my commitment. And all these books I've read this year, it's all been on mindset, right? It's the breakthroughs of mindset. It's maybe it's the biographies of the David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me, and those types of stories that help you realize, how does that person get to the next level? So for me, it's that pursuit of just continuing to understand the mind from a physiological standpoint, as well as just from a pure belief standpoint. How do people think? How do people show up? So that's been my main focus. And there's so many books, and I've enjoyed it and learned so much this year. I'm probably gonna stay locked in on that one probably for a handful more years. But that's probably the primary focus for me. And then I think one of the big blessings in my life is, you know, some of these areas where I have the opportunity to go is it's an opportunity to learn. You know, Nick Saban might be bringing me in, right? And it's an opportunity to work, you know, for their football program. But at the end of the day, that's an education for me too. I mean, I show up with a blessing going, gosh, these are some of the highest performing athletes in the world. This is one of the greatest coaching staffs ever assembled. This is the greatest college football coach of all time. And I get to learn from all these guys, right? So to me, it's an iron sharpens iron mentality. It's not like I'm coming in with the, you know, with the grand idea that's going to change everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. And I wanted to segue a little bit into maybe an area that people are struggling mentally or physically with overcoming certain things. And I think that for a lot of people, they lack the discipline to get what is necessary done. And so how do you accomplish things when you don't feel like it? Because I think it's very important to, even regardless if you don't feel like working out, if you don't feel like doing the homework or doing the things you know you need to do, how do you get yourself to do it?
Well, I think now when you fast forward, I'll give you my answer today, and then I'll give you an answer just so people can understand. Here's what, you know, you build to if this is the type of, you know, maybe career that you want, or if it's coaching and speaking. So for me, I have to be an example, right? So I'm a complete fake if I don't get my workouts in, properly eat. Now, given I've got my cheat days, those are a lot of fun, but staying on top of my nutrition, staying in good shape, how can I walk in and speak to the Alabama football team if I'm 45 pounds, 50 pounds, 60 pounds overweight, right? They'll be saying, talk about disciplines, dude. All you do is eat donuts, right? So I have to be an example. So I've created an environment where I don't have a choice. I've got to wake up every day. I've got to connect to my burn. I have to do the little things myself. I can't ask Jacob and try to inspire Jacob to stay connected to his burn and to stay connected to his daily disciplines if I don't do it myself. And I think that's one of the unique things you're doing with this podcast. You're now putting yourself in position at a very young age. You got to be an example, because otherwise you're interviewing people and you're saying these things, but at the end of the day, you're just a fake because you're overweight, you're not eating right, you're not doing the things that are, you know, going to cause you to get to that next level. So I think it's, for me, it's being that example. Now, for somebody who's maybe just getting started, right? Maybe it's a young entrepreneur. Maybe it's somebody who's a handful of years into their business. I think you have to create have-to situations, right? So maybe it's posting it on social media, and then people realize, like, okay, like this guy said he was going to do a 30-day challenge, and like, where is it? You know, he hasn't done it in 5 days, and people notice, right? Then you get a message like, I thought you were doing this challenge. Like, what happened to you? So maybe it's creating that environment or being open to and seeking accountability. So whether it's having a coach, whether it's having a mentor, whether it's having a workout partner, you know, how many times do you hear, I mean, these are simple concepts, but how many times do you hear the story of, well, I don't really train that hard by myself, but when I'm committed to meeting my workout partner at 5 a.m. at the gym, I'm always there at 5 a.m. and so is he or so is she, right? So it's that accountability that makes a difference.
I definitely agree with that. And there's the quote that you're the average of the five people you spend most time with. And if those five people are constantly grinding at the gym, then you're going to raise yourself there. And I think that that might be an actionable step for people to take if they want to become better in school. Maybe they start talking to smarter people and spending more time with them. They want to get bigger in the gym. They start working out with people bigger than them. Because if you're the strongest or the smartest or the fastest person in your group, then you're only going to be stagnant. You're not going to be increasing your level as much as you could be if you were the weakest in your group. Because then those four people are pulling your average up. They're raising your standards for you.
Absolutely. I always say that I talk about standard over feelings. So you don't allow your feelings to dictate how you show up. You have to choose to live to the standard every single day. And it's easy to say, gosh, my workouts are going so well, so I'm going to cheat on my nutrition today. Or my workouts are going so well, I'm going to just take a break today. And we're wanting to define ourselves by a result, when the reality is our highest level of performance comes when we measure ourselves on our daily effort, which is the standard. You know, when I shared the stage with Jerry Rice a handful of years ago, I remember before we took the stage, Jerry looked right at me and he's like, you know what, man? He's like, you know what? I've never understood. How could somebody not give 100% when it's 100% their choice? And it was one of the most simple yet profound statements from one of the greatest athletes to ever walk the face of the earth. And what he was telling us was, it's your choice. And you can either live to the standard or you can live to your feelings, but you can't really have both.
I love that. I love that. So for anyone looking to reach out, where can we find you online?
At Continued Fight is Instagram and Twitter, and Facebook is just my name, Ben Newman, and then bennewman.net is the website.
Sweet. And then I've got one last question before we go. But a little bit of background. When you die, the only thing that matters is the difference that you made and the impact that you could have on people. So I see you're wearing a legacy shirt. With that being said, what impact would you like to have made? What difference would you like to have made with whenever you leave? You know,
I'll tell you the greatest life lesson I've ever learned. It came from my mom and watching her battle that rare muscle disease. And there's a safe here in the office. And in that safe is my mother's journal. And my mother's mindset is what taught me that we can have a powerful mindset through any challenge and adversity. And it's all our choice. And she taught me the greatest life lesson. It's not how long you live. It's how you choose to live your life. So I hope when my time comes and I go up to those pearly gates, that number one, I'm welcomed in. And number two, people would say, gosh, you know, like I remember that I was empowered to think and to choose to live differently through my relationship with a guy like Ben. And that my kids, you know, would take the lessons that I've learned from my mom and accept them as they write their stories.